Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, it's good to be here with you this long weekend. And for those of you online, maybe tuning in from the campground, may the word of God warm your heart and your body today. It's nice and warm in here, I have to say. So just by way of personal intro, as Barry alluded to, yes, I'm married to my husband, Ed, for 31 years. I think we have a picture we're putting up there. And happily married, as you know, there's always, you know, little hurdles along the way, but the Lord brought us through some of those things. We have four sons who are now adults, two daughter-in-laws, three granddaughters, a dog, and a grand dog. So it's just our dog in the picture. Barry loves our dog. No, he doesn't. We, as Barry said, live in Cranbrook, BC. For myself, it's a beautiful place to be. I enjoy the outdoors. I like reading. I like music. I like history and geography and science and all those kinds of things. I enjoy dragging my husband all over the back roads and the front roads. In fact, I was thinking I have to reveal to him the plan for tomorrow because I have concocted a plan and I don't think I've looped him in yet as to where we're going to go and that it involves a short hike. So I should probably do that soon. Anything that looks interesting, I love to explore. I love being on the water. And so we're just grateful for where God's placed us in this season. Here's the thing. You know, it takes time to get yourself rooted in a place, and it takes time. We've been there 6.5 years now, almost 7, and it takes time to develop relationships. It takes time to know the congregation we're serving. And yet sometimes along the way, there has been temptations to expedite that somehow. You know what I mean? If we could just move all of this along a little faster, if we could build relationships faster, if we could figure things out faster, if we could move the church to where we feel God's leading us that much faster. And so the temptation in all of that exists to circumvent or go around God's plan, if you know what I mean. We can speed this up, God, and I can help you with that. I can make some things happen. And the God has been impressing on me lately the importance of not taking shortcuts around his plan. We had a situation just recently. We had a significant leak in the church building that we have there, and it moved a daycare that rents space in the building from that area to another space. And in our urgency to get things done, we brought a contractor that we thought would be a good fit. He talked a good game. We were feeling the urgency, just need to move this along, and we said yes. And it turned out to be a disaster. And thankfully, the Lord redeemed that situation. We were able to find someone else to finish the job. We had to let this individual go. But in the midst of all of that, the Lord impressed upon me, you took a shortcut. There was process, there was procedure that you could have followed, but you got impatient, you got anxious. Anyone take shortcuts when they're feeling anxious, right? And you didn't ask me about this. You didn't inquire of the Lord. And so we're thankful that he redeemed that situation, but it just reminds me, and this has been the resonating theme for me lately, is Carolyn, don't take shortcuts. Don't take shortcuts around the plans that I have. You know, maybe you've taken some shortcuts only to find out that the consequences outweighed the time saved. Maybe you've tried to build a piece of IKEA furniture without the instructions. Anyone done that? I saw this great thing on Instagram, which I just love, where you actually make up from your printer fictitious IKEA instructions with all kinds of fun pictures, like throw a hot dog in there or whatever. It's quite funny. Anyway, maybe you've used your wiper fluid to thaw your windshield on a cold winter day and only to pull out of your spot and everything just frosts over again. Shortcut that doesn't quite work out. Maybe you've rushed the healing of an injury only to have it relapse again, or put an egg in the microwave to hurry things along. Bad idea. Or used a large amount of gasoline on a fire only to burn off your eyebrows. So Shortcuts are often quicker and easier ways of doing something. Often we bypass standards or we bypass processes, but then sometimes we compromise and we lose quality, we lose integrity, and we lose the long-term benefit. Here's just a couple stories recorded online. In December of 2019, a Bill Bymaster was near Kalispell, Montana, which is close to where we are, when his GPS suggested a shortcut that would have saved him about 45 minutes of driving. And his phone told him, hey, this is going to be good. But common sense, he was a little bit leery and he wasn't so sure. But he followed the GPS anyway. And he turned down a gravel road and carried on for 18 miles until it started to snow. At one point, he went down a hill, but his rental car was unable to manage the hill in the slippery conditions, and inevitably, he went off the road. He spent the night in the car. He was injured in the process. He'd broken his leg. Still, he managed to walk 4 miles before collapsing, but fortunately, he was rescued by hunters who found his abandoned car and followed his tracks. Not a good shortcut to take there. One other was Rosie Ruiz. Maybe some of you are familiar with this story. She was the first woman to cross the finish line in the 1980 Boston Marathon. And she had finished in near record time, and she barely had seemed to have broken a sweat. Her time of just over 2.5 hours was super impressive. But then people started to ask questions. How did that happen? How does she not even look worn out at all? Well, turns out she had finished 24th in the long run, but what she had done is taken the subway. So she had diverted off the marathon course, jumped on the subway, and she finished in first, amazingly enough. And I thought, that's my kind of marathon. That's the one I want to do. But anyway, of course, she lost her titles, and she bears the shame of that shortcut that she took. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Genesis 16, or navigate there if you have your electronic Bible with you, Genesis 16. And there's another story recorded from the book of Genesis of a shortcut taken that did not work out as anticipated. In this narrative, Abraham and Sarah, they were promised a child by God. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and that his descendants would be as numerous as, let anyone know? Stars, right? And sand on the seashore, and any of those would have been correct. Despite this promise, Sarah remained barren for 11 years. So 11 years following the time God made this promise, she had not born a child that would indicate that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And so after waiting a long time, Sarah chose a shortcut by suggesting that Abraham become intimate with her handmaiden, maidservant Hagar, to fulfill God's promise. And so picking up in Genesis 16, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but verse 1 and 2 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal." It seems reasonable. 11 years of waiting. She's now 86 years old. God, you made a promise. I'm not seeing it happen here. And so I think I can help you along with this process. I think I have an idea. And then Abram, in the course of that, agrees to this idea. So Hagar conceives, and she gives birth to Ishmael when Abraham was 86 years old. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Hagar of Ishmael's destiny, going down to Genesis 6, verse 12. The angel of the Lord says, "This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." And so this is what they are now living with, this little shortcut. This is where it ends up. And God confirms in the next chapter, this was not his plan to fulfill his promise to Abram and Sarai. So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. Now you may notice I'm using Abram and Abraham interchangeably. There's a whole story behind that as well, so same person. Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac. And I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. And if you happen to be familiar with this passage of scripture, further on in Genesis, Sarah gives birth to Isaac when Abraham is 100 years old. So God's plan, nevertheless, what Sarah and Abraham did might have seemed like a culturally acceptable workaround, a good shortcut. There are good shortcuts, aren't there? You know, you're walking and sometimes you need to go through the park because you need to get home in a hurry, and it's just fine. But shortcuts that come around God's plan and can be detrimental. So this was not God's plan. And so the result was heartache, tension, and long-term generational conflict. Ishmael's considered to be an ancestor of the Arab people, and we've witnessed throughout history and even now ongoing tensions in the region that are connected to this, which is very interesting. You can do a little research and digging into that. All this because Abraham and Sarah believed God, but they struggled to wait for his method and for his timing. Where are you tempted to take shortcuts to produce your own version of God's promise? Are you tempted to take shortcuts? A shortcut is any choice that it avoids the necessary growth or obedience of following God's way in favor of immediate gratification or comfort. I got a little distracted there, Siri's listening in. All of a sudden, the little bubbles going there. I'm like, oh, interesting. A shortcut so often disregards God's direction. There's a scripture that I really love in Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. However, there's a verse 9. And in fact, this verse 9, I think, is probably going to have to be my life verse. Because when we read it, it says this in conjunction with that. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. I thought, wow, how often have I stopped at verse 8? And as I read to verse 9, I remember reading that for the first time and going, oh, that's me. How often do I need a bit or bridle where the Lord's saying, I've given you the plan. I've shown you the direction for your life. Carolyn, why are you trying to do it your own way? Why are you trying to take shortcuts? Why are you trying to do an end run around my plan? The temptation to go our own way, to do what makes sense to us, sometimes we're trusting in our own understanding rather than God's. And so I wonder if there's temptations in your life right now to take shortcuts. Wonder if there's places where you've been waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled and you're feeling anxious, maybe even a little desperate, and saying, God, I just want to speed things up and I have a plan. There's a few shortcuts that come to mind when we talk about this. Premarital sex is a shortcut. We are to invest in real intimacy. Credit and debt is a shortcut. We are to invest in wise stewardship. Avoiding conflict is a shortcut. We are to invest in peacemaking and honest relationships. Quitting what is difficult is a shortcut. We are to invest in perseverance. Watching the online sermon from a week we missed at 2x speed on YouTube is a shortcut. Oh, some of you laughed. Does that mean this is happening? Okay, I confess that has happened. We are to invest in our spiritual formation. And some of you are saying, I can do that? Show me your weight. Shortcuts are often the easy way out, a way of avoiding things that we don't like to do. And how do we know this? Because the temptation to take a shortcut is so often accompanied by phrases, this will be so much quicker, this will be so much easier, this is going to make things happen. Jesus was tempted in the New Testament by Satan to take a shortcut, an easy way out, to bypass the cross and the temptations we see in the New Testament. In Matthew 4, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Satan was saying, I'll make you great. But Jesus had come to humble himself. John alluded to this wonderful passage from Philippians 2. Jesus had come to humble himself to death on the cross. So Jesus responds, get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus knew his mission, his master, and he knew what the consequences would be if he succumbed to the temptation to bypass the cross, to bypass the plan for redemption. Doing anything well requires an investment. Exercising diligence and patience. Think of bank investments, right? We wait. We wait for the interest rate to build. We wait to see a return on our investment. Growing plants and crops, that takes time. If you've ever stood long enough to watch your plant grow, you don't see very much happen, do you? You could stand there all day and really not see too much, but come back a few months later and you'll see a significant change. Raising a child, a significant investment. I remember one of our sons, he just took longer to catch on to certain things that we would try to emphasize in trying to keep four boys safe. One of those things was check in, right? If you're going to go hang out with friends, if you're going to go do something, just check in. Let us know. We fought with him for years and years and years on that. And do you know when he figured it out? About 2 years ago when he was 23. And do you know how we know he figured it out? Not because he called us to tell us where he was, but because he called us and said, where were you, Mom and Dad? I came by the house and you didn't check in. I'm like, really? Now you get it? And that made us laugh for sure. And so how do we address the temptation to take shortcuts? In Scripture, we see things like meditating on God's word day and night, being constant in prayer. That Scripture says that the powers of discernment for us are trained by constant practice in distinguishing good from evil. Diligence, unhurriedness, patience, perseverance, staying the course, not taking the subway. So how do we address this temptation to take shortcuts? And these are just some of my own thoughts in prayer. One is, I think, identify why the shortcut is appealing. Why does this shortcut appeal? They often appeal to our impatience. They appeal to our desire for control, the fear of missing out, or just that craving for ease, something easy, something not too complicated. I think of Naaman in the Old Testament, and you're not going to see this reference on the screen, sorry, this was a little bit of a last minute thought. Naaman was a powerful Syrian army commander who suffered from leprosy in the Old Testament narratives. He traveled to Israel to seek healing, and after hearing from a servant girl that the prophet Elisha could help him, he went to Elijah, and Elijah didn't come see him. Elijah said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman initially was angry, and he resisted. He was expecting something more dramatic, and he was expecting an instant cure. Elisha, why wouldn't you just come put your hand on me, done, healed, and I can go on? But after humbling himself and obeying, he was completely healed. His healing not only restored his body, but it also led him to acknowledge the God of Israel. Naaman, in his impatience, could have missed out on receiving the healing that God had for him. So when we're tempted to take a shortcut, we want to identify what's driving the desire. Is it impatience? Is it needing an easy way out? A desire for control? And as we identify this, this can help us slow down and say, God, am I being obedient to what you're asking? I'm feeling impatient right now, and I need to check in with you. I need to check in and just see if I'm walking according to your plan. The bottom line is sometimes we just have to do the work. Sometimes we just need to do the bathing in the river 7 times. Secondly, identify the outcome of the shortcut versus the longer pathway. What will that shortcut cost you? What will you gain if you take that shortcut? For example, maybe you're tempted to spend what you do not have. Does anyone remember, I don't know if they still do this, but the brick, don't pay for a year, come and get all your wonderful furniture. Yeah, we fell for that shortcut early on in our marriage. We gained some furniture, but at a very high cost. Often the furniture was not of the quality we wanted, and so it was already breaking before we had even finished the payments. And then you're struggling to make the payments and replace the furniture. That's, yeah, I see some nodding going, yeah, we've been there, we know that. And then we were a slave to debt, when Scripture clearly says, be slave to no one. In spiritual growth, a shorter pathway can interfere with our ability to grow deep roots. We rush through time of God with God. We think of lunch and other plans as the sermon is being delivered. How many of you are thinking about lunch right now? You don't have to put your hand up. Failing to take the investment of time when troubles come and our roots do not sustain us. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13 describes a sower who goes out to sow seed, and some seed falls on shallow soil with underlying rock. And the seed comes up, it sprouts very quickly because the soil is shallow, but the plant soon wilts under the hot sun, and since they don't have deep roots, they die. And Jesus highlights the meaning for his disciples. He says, these are those who hear the message and immediately receive with joy. And this is specific to the message of the gospel, but I think it applies even broader than that. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And whoever sows to please the flesh will reap destruction. We want to count the cost when we're tempted to take a shortcut. What's this going to mean in the long run? How does this align with God's plan? Next, we want to identify the smaller wins as we move towards the bigger gains. When we're in a period of waiting for God's plan to unfold, identify the small wins. Those things will encourage you along the way. And we sometimes have to ask God. Sometimes we don't see them and we need, God, just would you show me what you're doing here behind the scenes? Would you show me how this is moving me forward towards all that you've promised? I'm part of a rowing club and I have a coach, and I've been doing that for 6 years in Cranbrook, and the same coach, and she needs Jesus. And we've had opportunities to have faith conversations. And last week, the weather wasn't great, so we decided instead of rowing, we were going to go for a walk. And so as we're walking, there were some faith-based kind of topics that came up. And in my heart, I wanted to push my agenda forward. I wanted to push what I wanted to see happen for her forward. And I could see, though, in her face, she wasn't wanting to do that in that moment. And I was thinking about the next thing to say, and the Lord just checked my spirit and said, Carolyn, look at where we've gotten so far, that she's even willing to ask questions and have that conversation. And you need to respect where she's at right now and not push through in your impatience the desire to see something happen. So the small win, God's doing something in her life, and I know that to be true. But I still need to wait for his timing in the process. I still need to continue to pray and be faithful in that for her. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God makes everything beautiful in his time, not in my time, not in your time. Lastly, we want to avoid desperate responses when things are taking a long time. We saw in Abraham and Sarah's story a desperate response. We've been waiting 11 years. It's time to make something happen because we're not going to be able to do this for much longer, anticipate the birth of a baby. Desperation of this kind is not from God. David was anointed young by Samuel to be king, but he did not wear the crown for over 10 years. During that time, he was on the run as a result of Saul's persecution. And there's a point in the Old Testament where David's hiding in the back of a cave and Saul comes in to relieve himself, scripture says. And David's men encourage him, this is your opportunity to confront your persecutor, to do something, to take him out, to end Saul's life, and then David would be king. David cuts off a piece, a hem of Saul's robe, unknown to Saul. And then, I love this part, David's conscience began to bother him. And that's a whole other sermon, because of his action. David says to his men, "The Lord forbid it that I should do this thing to the Lord my king. I should not attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." And then David prevents his men from killing Saul. David knew his mission and knew his master, the Lord. And this prevented David from taking a desperate shortcut that would have greatly impacted his reign as king and his standing before God. And I have great admiration that in that moment, the self-control he had, the willingness to obey the grander plan that the Lord had for him and not take matters into his own hands. Remember Saul, who earlier in the Old Testament, God stripped him of his rule because he did not wait for Samuel to make the sacrifice, because he grew impatient. This could have been David too. So we must also understand perseverance when we've been waiting a long time. God is long-suffering. Love is patient. We too must be patient in the waiting. And this long road, it actually forms dependence and character and trust. As I talk to you about these things, there's things, church, that I'm waiting for. Promises he's given to me. I'm waiting for him to call some of my children back to knowing him, praying for that desperately. And there's so many shortcuts I could be tempted to take, to try and, you know, just shove them into the kingdom, so to speak. Apparently that doesn't work too well. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." A wonderful promise. We can confront this temptation to take shortcuts by identifying what's appealing, by identifying what it might cost us to do so, by identifying the smaller wins and avoiding desperate responses in the waiting. And I wondered as I was preparing this, what about the church? Lord, what about us as a church in New Life? What about Cornerstone? What about all of our churches? What if we as churches invested for the long haul rather than looking for shortcuts? If we persevered in building relationships, if we persevered in growing in Christ, if we persevered in teaching and walking with others as they grow, as I said earlier, we can't shove people down the track. That was something I really struggled with in the first couple of years when I was pastoring. I wanted people to, like, just do this, it'll all be good. And people needed time, and the Lord slowed me down. Perseverance in sticking out conflict and differences rather than quietly slipping out the door. Scripture says if we do not grow weary in well-doing, we can look forward to reaping a harvest of blessing. Just as we look forward to that when we, how many of you are gardeners and are growing a garden up or getting ready to, awesome. I love that enthusiasm. I kill things. I'm working on it. I'm learning. I have a plant at home that I was keeping alive and thought I was doing so well, and I found out my youngest son was helping me all along. And he stopped helping me and it died. But in growing our garden, little by little, persevering, investing, and the best part is expecting results. We can expect that the Lord will fulfill his promises to us. yes and amen. So this is partly, hey, an admonition to let's be on guard against taking shortcuts, but it's also a word of encouragement to say, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. As we wait on him, wait for his promises to be fulfilled in our life, as we walk obedient, what I love about that scripture from Isaiah 40:31 is it's every day. He doesn't renew our strength just once on the journey, he renews it every day. Every time we wait on him, he renews our strength to wait for his plan to unfold in his timing. As we close this morning, I'm going to invite you just to take a moment to talk to the Holy Spirit. I believe that God speaks to us. And for myself, that's usually just in the quietness of my own heart. I've never heard his audible voice. But let's ask the Lord. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and invite the team to come on back up. And let's ask God, where in my life am I tempted right now to take a shortcut? Where have I been attempting to make your promises happen in my timing? Just ask the Lord that. It's up on the screen in case you need to take a peek. And if God reveals an area to you, I invite you just to confess and ask him what you need to do. God, how do I extend my patience? How do I wait for you? And so let's just do that. We're just going to be quiet for a moment, and then I'll close us in prayer.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.